All right, good evening. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And while you're doing that, I do want to say thank you to all those who have taken care of me. Since I'm on my own without a wife to take care of me, and see if I can get all these names. The Sherwins, thank you for lunch on Sunday. And the Schlegels, thank you for supper sometime. I don't remember what it was. The Prims, last night, are you in here? Thank you for that. The Cleans, for letting me stay at your house. I hope I got everybody. I'm trying to learn names, and so I think that's... Did I miss somebody? Just go ahead and embarrass me now. Okay, good. I already got you. And thank you so much for your hospitality. Thank you for praying for the school camp this week. And I spoke on assurance today and then spoke on the tongue. And really the Lord worked in a powerful way in the assurance message. How many of you as adults would say at some point you have struggled with knowing for sure of your own salvation? Okay, there's a lot, most of you. And most of those teenagers sitting there are struggling in some way. And so, just try to lay out simply, if you've turned to Jesus Christ to save you, it's not about how you feel, it's not about if you've messed up or sinned, it's going to happen, but it's you place your dependence on the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. You place your dependence on the Word of God. He says, if you call unto Him, He will save you. And so, several students raised their hand as far as saying that that message was needed for them. And I don't know about you, but I remember as I struggled with that as a teenager, college student, I was really powerless because you're so engulfed in that you can't. I mean, you can't pray. You can't. There's nothing you can do. It's really. I remember I told teenagers I walked down the street as a teenager, just weeping because I just couldn't believe that God was real, and it was just really tough. And so I hope that was a help to them tomorrow. If you're a teenager here, close your ears. But tomorrow morning, if you would pray for us, probably going to cover bitterness. And again, that's another topic that the longer we go on, the more people, more teenagers it hits. And so if you pray for that tomorrow morning, then we'll see if the Lord leads the rest of the week. So thank you very much. My wife and kids are doing great at home. If you call rebelling at their teacher in school being great, they're doing great, okay? Because they're homeschooled, okay? So. Anyways, nobody ever wants to do school, and so they don't want to either, but my wife is corralling them, so thank you for praying for us. All right? If you weren't here on Sunday, our ministry Inside the Lines goes inside of prisons and preaches the gospel. I do want to make an announcement as far as something I forgot on Sunday. If you would like to be involved even more with our ministry, not talking about financially, okay, talking about being able to write the inmates. I was telling Pastor and his wife that I am not allowed to communicate with the inmates. And I can't write back to them. Somebody ruined it for the rest of us, okay? That's just the way it works. And so the prisons that I go in, I cannot go back home and sit down and write a letter and continue to encourage them. And so that was really hard for me to hear that. And so for a long time, we've been trying to pray about what we could do to continue to teach these inmates. So it actually we've started this since I was here in November. And so we've started something called the Assist Program, where you, the church member, can actually write inmates. So here's how it works, okay? You go to our website, itlassist.org, okay? And you can sign up to write an inmate and encourage them, the ones that we have physically seen. Okay, I've gone in there, I've given the gospel to them. It's a basketball tournament for the men or for the ladies. And you sign up at this website, and you can begin writing to an inmate to encourage them in the Lord. Men will write men, ladies will write ladies. Okay, so what you do is you sign up. My mother-in-law is now my secretary. She will send you the name of an inmate and tell you where he or she is. You simply write an email back to her, to that inmate. Okay, so you have no idea how to write to inmates. That's not something you do on a normal basis. I understand that. So you can go to our website, also tell you what to write the first time to introduce yourself. Okay, if you're a little uncomfortable. So you write that email back to my mother-in-law. She takes your letter, prints it out, puts it in an envelope, puts a stamp on it, sends it to your adopted inmate at no cost to you. So you're not, I don't know about you, but I don't take out pen and paper anymore. I don't work that way, okay? It's all on my computer. And so then that goes to the inmate. When the inmate sends it back to you, it comes through our post office box. So they don't get your address. They don't even have your real name. We give them a fake name because the chaplains told us we should probably do that. And so it comes to us. She uploads it to the email and sends you the email of the letter. So then you, boom, you have it on your phone, whatever, there it is. And then you sit down and simply write back to your inmate, and it's all electronic. There's never any paper, never any post office, none of that. And you can encourage an inmate. So I'm actually in the process of writing a 50-page book. Woo! I'll sign it for you when I'm done if you want, okay? But So I'm writing that, basically on some of the truths that we talked about on Sunday. It's called Much More, telling these inmates how much more they have in Christ, okay, after salvation. So the goal is that once that is complete, that you can take each of the lessons off the internet, and we can print those lessons out and send them to your inmate so that you can be going through a lesson with your inmate at the same time. So you could say something like, hey, what did you learn from lesson one? What did you learn from lesson two? So it's just a simple form of discipleship because we try to do everything we can to continue that. Does that make sense? So because of flying up here, I forgot to bring a box of cards that I could give you that has that that website on it. All right, or you could go to our real website, insidethelines.org, itlassist.org, if you remember that, to sign up and write an email. Now, you say you might be a little nervous. Okay, we understand that. My mother-in-law reads through all the letters. Okay, in fact, I get copies of the letters and just peruse through them. So you don't have to be afraid of, what are they going to ask me to do? They're going to ask me to send money. Okay, don't do that. Don't go see somebody. You don't have to do that. You're just trying to do as best as you can to keep it focused on the Word of God. Okay? So we have 40 of those people right now across the nation, I think in 10, 11 states doing it. Somebody, a missionary in Scotland's doing it because it's just email. A missionary in Peru is doing it that we've seen just writing to inmates. So you can do that too. All right? I'm not allowed. I'm hopefully going to Texas here soon. And I think in Texas I'm allowed to write them back. So that's particularly why I want to go there, so I could write those inmates back. Anyways, I just wanted to give that commercial, and I'd love to see as many people involved as possible. So, Pastor, what time did you... I didn't get the time. Well, if you know me from Sunday, I'm not going to be too long, hopefully. So let's read Psalm 63, and we'll just read the first four verses. Psalm 63 says this, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to simply open your word to these your people. Lord, I am in desperate need of you, and your strength and your grace, your provision. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful word of God, that it is a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It's a light unto our path. Lord, it is a sword, a piercing and divine asunder of soul and spirit. And so thank you for the power of it. We need it tonight for encouragement or conviction. And so I pray that you would use me tonight. I don't want to be self-sufficient. Without you, I can do nothing. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever heard of the story, I believe it's World War II, if I have that correct, of the USS Indianapolis sinking? Okay, the USS, okay, we have a few ladies back there. USS Indianapolis, I believe they delivered either parts to or the actual atom bomb or something, and I don't know if I'm getting that correct, but they had a very important mission. And so on their way back, everything was pretty quiet, and then a Japanese sub got to them. And so the Japanese sub put a hole in the ship, it sinks, and I believe there was like 3,000 crew members on board, and only 900 survived the sinking. Now, I wouldn't advise that you read too much of details into what happens after this, but the 900 didn't do so well either. In fact, they call it one of the biggest shark attacks ever. And the sharks, because of all the noise and all the things that happened in Indianapolis, the sharks came and took care of many of those men. And so, that again, it went down, it whittled those guys down to certain men, few men. And when I saw, I watched a little documentary on it, there was one guy that just the leader of the whole thing and was swimming from group to group to make sure all of his men were doing all right. He later just swam off into the ocean, and they never saw him again. But when I think they gave him some posthume, what do you call that, where they give him a medal, after his death. And but here's the thing, those guys that survived, even after the shark attack, they would, what's the number one rule when you're lost at sea? Don't drink the water. So they became so thirsty, and they're so dehydrated, that they would actually start to lose their mind. And some of them turned to their own friends, and they began to take out their own friends because of being so in the sun and the dehydration, and because of being so thirsty, they took out their own friends. It's pretty sad, but there were several, a couple hundred, 300 that actually survived the whole thing and were picked up later. But that's the thing about when you're talking about being at sea. I've seen story after story of people stranded away. That's why I don't go far from, I really don't go far from the beach. People have invited me to, I get nervous doing that. I don't want to be out there. When you're out there, number one rule is don't drink the water. No matter how thirsty, why? Because it's salt water, it actually goes into your body and will kill you. Will kill you. But you ever been in that position? You've probably never been in a position where you've been lost out at sea and you're so you lose your mind. But have you been really, really thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. Your lips begin to get dry. You would do whatever it takes to get water. You with me? Now, no matter how much it costs at the airport to buy a bottle of water, I'm going to get water. I've got to get water. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the idea of having that type of desire, that type of motivation to see the Lord. That nothing's going to stop me until I see God and I see Him work. That thirst for the Lord is what David is talking about in this passage. First of all, we're going to look at a personal thirst. A personal thirst. If you would flip over to Psalm 16, obviously there in that passage, he says, "O God, Thou art my God." But flip over to Psalm 16, a few chapters over. Psalm 16, 1 says this, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee." In this passage, in this verse, David actually uses three names for God. Elohim, which is Creator God. Capital L-O-R-D, which we know is Jehovah, or God of the Covenant. Okay, but he also uses, Thou art my Lord. So he calls him Adonai, which is my Lord and my King. Now go back to Psalm 63. Verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. David says, I am seeking my God. I'm not just seeking the Creator God. I'm not just seeking Jehovah God or the God of the Covenant. I am seeking my God, my Lord. It's a personal thirst. He's mine. Well, obviously, if you're born again tonight, you have a great God, a great Creator, a God that keeps His promises, but you also have a friend. And you also have a Lord. And the question is, are you seeking Him personally? Is He yours? There was one time an old English actor whose name was McReady. Besides this story, I've never even heard of him. It's a long time ago. One time a preacher came to him and said, I don't know how you're doing it. Can you explain something to me? And the actor said, well, what is it? Actor McReady said, I don't know. What is it you want me to explain? He says, what's the difference between me and you? I'm preaching all of these nights, and you're before all these crowds, and all these people are coming to see you, but they're not coming to see me. What's the difference? What's the problem? And the actor tells the preacher, he says this, "Oh, I could tell you, it's quite simple. I present my fiction as though it were truth. You present your truth as though it were fiction." You see, when we have a personal thirst for the Lord, people can look and see us that it is for real in our life. We have a personal thirst for Him. I want to know my Lord. He is real, and I want to know Him. So it's a personal thirst, but it's also a pointed thirst. Look with me again in Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee." I'm looking for You. I'm looking to see You work in my family. I'm looking to see You work in my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You first and nobody else. The Bible says in Psalm 42:2, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." A deer who desperately wants water will go and do whatever it takes to get to that water. As a deer pants for the water brook. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 21, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You guys ever have kids that have a one-track mind? I mean, my kids are kind of out of that stage now, but you ever gone somewhere? I could be at church. I remember my kids were coming to me, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 are we going to go to the park? Daddy, are we going to go to the park? Daddy, when are we going to go to the park? We're going to the park tomorrow. Daddy, when are we going to the park? You said we're going to go to the park. Daddy, are we going to the park?" Your kids ever do that? And then the next day they wake up, "Daddy, Daddy, the park. You said we're going to go to the park." Okay, right? And they can't get their mind off of it, okay? That's where they're going. And that can be a good thing. And it's especially a good thing when we're talking about us and the Lord. We should have that type of mentality. I mean, in this world, there's so many distractions. So much stuff going on around us. There are so many people that desire our attention. But our goal should be this. I want a one-track mind, and that one-track mind is leading to my Lord and my Savior. I want time with Him. It's a pointed thirst. Nothing in the peripheral is going to get in my way. I'm going straight to the Lord. I don't want to be distracted. It's time to seek the Lord, Hosea says, "till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Anyone ever heard of Clyde Tombaugh? He's an astronomer. Okay, you guys are going to get an education tonight, all right? He discovered the planet Pluto, which technically, is it still a planet? Did they reinstate it as a planet? Some people say yes, and some people say no, something like that, okay? Let's just call it a planet for the sake of this illustration, okay? So they thought they saw a heavenly body back in March of 1929. So Clyde Tombaugh actually, he examined scores and scores of telescopic photographs. I mean, tens of thousands of star images. In his own words, it was pretty much 20 million images that he looked at. Finally, in 1930, he was blinking at a pair of photographs in the constellation Gemini, and he says, "I suddenly came upon the image of Pluto." It was the biggest discovery in 100 years. Looking at 20 million images. Okay, I wouldn't have got past three, but 20 million images. Can I tell you something? That type of mentality is what you and I should have with the Lord. To where I'm focused on Him. And don't bother me. I'm too busy seeking the Lord right now. I've got to find the Lord. It's a point in thirst. Nothing's going to distract me. I'll look at 20 million images. Many times when we hear about Demas, right, forsaking the Lord, or forsaking Paul in the Lord, we think, oh, he's in complete rebellion. It was just so, you know, Demas is that. The Bible says he forsook him having loved this present world. The comforts. He just loved the present world. And many times, as we begin to seek the Lord, we have that pointed thirst for a while, and then we lift our heads. We look around, and we see all the other stuff that is more comfortable. I mean, Clyde Tombaugh could have quit. I'm a little more comfortable not looking at 20 million images. But he kept going. Don't forsake the Lord. It's also a passionate thirst. It's also a passionate thirst. Look with me at verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. You can also say, you know, it's fainting to pursue. It kind of gives the idea in Genesis 25, Jacob saw pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint, pale of face. Judges 8:4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. It's a passionate thirst. You know there's some signs of dehydration. You probably should know these. It's dry mouth, parched lips, swollen tongue. Your eyes stop making tears. I guess you should start crying to see if you're dehydrated, if your tears come out. Your sweating may stop. Okay, lightheadedness, weakness. And those are all simple signs outwardly of something going on inwardly that you need to take care of. Let me ask you this question. When people look at your life, can they see on the outside that you have a passionate pursuit of the Lord inside? In other words, is it springing up? Is it overflowing, your desire for the Lord and your pointed thirst as you're looking toward the Lord, as you want to get to know Him and seek Him with your whole heart? Do people around you see that? Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because you cannot contain it when you're seeking the Lord. It just bubbles up, comes over, and people see it. It's an outward manifestation. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things where? Above. Not on things on the earth. I think one of the greatest problems in my own life, I'm just being honest with you, is that I set my affection on the things that make me comfortable here. And I'm okay with that. That's a problem. To seek the Lord sometimes is uncomfortable. It's going against the grain. It's going against people that are okay with just being comfortable and casual and the Bible says, and lukewarm. To go against that many times is difficult. Seek those things which are above. Again, there's another story I can give you. Mel Fisher, you probably heard of him. He's a little bit closer to our time period. He was called the greatest treasure hunter of our day. All right, he lived in a houseboat in Florida. And come 1975, he lost a son and daughter-in-law. Basically, they were out searching. His company was searching for the Atocha. You've probably heard of that, the Spanish ship. I actually hear it come up in the news every once in a while. All right, it sunk in 1622. There was gold, silver, gems worth $400 million on that ship. I think they're still finding stuff, you know, from that ship. On July 20th, 1985, Mel Fisher's son, Kane Fisher, they're out, you know, looking for 40 tons of gold and silver, 100,000 Spanish silver coins. He finally said, he finally found it, and he said, put away the charts, we have the mother lode. Do you know what Mel Fisher's motto was? Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Every day, going out there looking for the Atocha, for all of these millions and millions of dollars and treasures, he says, today's the day. Let me ask you yourself this question. Is that your type of mentality with the Lord? Today's the day. I'm going to find the Lord today. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to find Him. I'm going to be satisfied in my thirst. Today's the day. I'm going. I'm looking for Him. It's also a powerful thirst. A powerful thirst. Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I want to focus on those two words, power and glory. David says, look, I've seen Him in the sanctuary. I want to see Him here. I want to see Him there. I want to see God's power and glory. Let me ask you this question as a family. As a family, when is the last time that you saw God work in powerful ways as a family? In other words, you specifically asked God to do something that was in your eyes, fairly impossible. And you said, here's what we're going to pray. Husband, wife, we're going to pray this. Kids, we're going to pray this. And we're going to seek God until He does it. We want to see God's power and His glory revealed. Can I tell you something? The God of the Bible is still the God of today. He's still the God of today. I think many churches across this nation, they're just doing church and doing their Christian life, and they haven't seen God work. I mean, God, what is it the Bible says that His eyes search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are right toward Him. He's looking to show Himself strong on our behalf. But can I ask you this question? Can He stop looking when He comes to you? Has He found the person He's looking for to show His power and His glory through? Because many times we can't be used like that because we're not expecting it. Again, we're too comfortable. Here's what you should do. Maybe you should just go and just start praying something that is absolutely way out there. Pray about, you can do this. Pray about what you should pray about. God, what can we pray about that would bring You honor and bring You glory as people here at church hear about how You answer that prayer? And then God receives the power, God receives the glory as you see His power in your life. It's okay to pray that. Pray for something that is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Psalm 42:3 says this, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Let me ask you this question. As a child looks to you as their parent, the God that you worship, is He alive? Is He alive? Has your child seen Him work in powerful ways in your life? Can they say, I know God is alive. I've seen Him work in my family. I've seen Him work I've seen Him. The Bible says in Isaiah 44, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." I love that promise. "And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Let me give you these few phrases in conclusion. You know that one who is thirsty will not quit until he finds water. You don't. You don't quit until you find water. Physically. And those who are thirsty for God to see His power and glory, a passionate thirst, don't quit until they find Him. Oh, they don't quit. One who is thirsty is not satisfied with a little water. You ever been so thirsty and then something like this? I mean, that's cool and all. It's great. I mean, but have you been so thirsty that you just want to take something and just kind of just take a bucket? If you're really thirsty, you're not going to quit with a little bit of water. You want it all. Listen, someone who is truly thirsty like David in this passage is someone who's not going to be satisfied with a little bit. I want to see God work a lot. And I want to see it in my family. One who is thirsty is willing to do whatever it takes to get water. I've already told you that. I mean, that's just like paying. If I'm really thirsty in the airport, those things are like $2.50 for a bottle of water in the air. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's water. But if you're really thirsty, you'll do whatever it takes. And here's the thing. If you really want to see God's power and His glory, you'll do whatever it takes. What do I have to sacrifice? What do I have to deny? What do we have to do as a family to really see God's power and glory? Because that's what I want. That's what I want. So let me ask you this question in closing. How do you get thirsty? You talk. Talk a lot. Talk a lot to the Lord. But you'll get thirsty. You'll get thirsty. The more you talk, the more thirsty you'll get. More thirsty to see God reveal Himself in a powerful way in your life. Start talking. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You are so forgiving, so kind and compassionate to us that when we are so comfortable with life's surroundings, we are okay right where we're at. It's not a problem. It's no big deal. You forgive us. Lord, would You remind us tonight that we need to be thirsty? Would You create in us a thirsty heart? for this church as a whole, create in them a thirsty heart to see your power and glory. Individually, as moms or dads, create in them a thirsty heart to see your power and glory so their kids can see your power revealed. So they wouldn't be like the Israelites who just went their own way because they didn't see the God of their fathers. Lord, individually, I pray that you create in us a thirsty heart. We can't just muster it up ourselves, Lord. We can't just pull ourselves up and say, I'm going to be thirsty. Lord, we desperately need you to do that. A desire, a craving. And so I pray that you would do that in our hearts. Thank you again for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.